With the 25th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select. It could be better than a fantasy.
I got my levels out of place last night. Was a long one, looking for a quick fix, looking for a shortcut. But if I want a game plan for the long run, what do I bring to the table? Said dumb luck. There's a good chance the last thing I pick up will show up in my sleep and crash all my dreams with some shit I won't repeat, cause it's not what I'm proud of. Some heaviness, some pettiness, and things I'm ashamed of.
All right, guys, welcome to the very first episode of The Draft Board on Underground Sports Philadelphia. I am Mikey, joined by Andrew today.
What's going on, everyone?
We're pretty pumped to start bringing you guys some content, and we're extremely excited to get you into the first episode here in a little bit. So I'll just run you guys through. So we're going to start off by kind of going over the booms and busts of the 2018 first-round draft. We'll talk about, you know, obviously the Baker Mayfields, the Saquon Barkleys, and then later on we're going to kind of go over our mock draft that we did a couple weeks ago. So let's just jump right on into it.
Let's do it.
So we'll start off with the obvious one. Baker Mayfield, boom or bust?
It's got to be a boom. I mean, there was a little bit of question about who was the first quarterback that was going to be taken. I mean, people thought it was going to be Darnold. People thought there was a shot that it was going to be Allen. It ended up being Baker Mayfield. And, I mean, I don't think Cleveland regrets that pick at all. I mean, he didn't start the first game or two and then came in and then single-handedly, he more or less kind of turned the franchise around. And I think that the fans of Cleveland are pretty stoked to have him under helm for the next couple of years. So that's without question, that's a boom.
Dude, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the whole time I thought it was going to be Darnold. You know, you heard all these crazy things about Darnold and how he was like this souped up, bona fide number one overall draft pick. And I still remember it now. I was finishing up science class my senior year of college. I was sitting there, I was following the draft, and Baker Mayfield comes up on my phone. I was like, that can't be right. What did I just read? But clearly Cleveland knew something that I didn't, and I think that's that pick, first overall, amazing for them.
He's also like the man. I don't know if you watched like interviews with him or Twitter videos. He's the man. It's hard, even as like a fan of a different team, it's hard not to root for him because he's just the man. The man.
He's fun.
Yeah.
He's so much fun. I want to see him and Juju get together. but yeah, so obviously Baker Mayfield, huge boom for Cleveland. The next guy that was the number two overall pick, I think we can agree, huge boom for the New York Giants, Mr. Saquon Barkley.
I mean, as an Eagles fan, I mean, it hurts to say, but he killed it. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of questions again, just like the first pick, about are they going to take Darnold? Are they going to go with Saquon? And I mean, there's a lot of critics, but I think Saquon did a fantastic job of silencing those critics. He killed it. He was, and honestly, he was a joy to watch too. He's just a great running back.
Oh, he's so much fun to watch. And actually, me and Kyle, when we were doing the fantasy podcast for Goal Line the other day, we were talking about how this whole team for the foreseeable future is going to be built completely around Saquon Barkley.
Absolutely.
I mean, dude's just, he's a total game changer. I mean, he steps on the field and everyone just pays attention, you know what I mean? So
he's a highlight reel.
Oh, human highlight reel. He's great. So Barkley, an obvious boom. We're not going to go through every single picks. We're just going to kind of highlight, you know, the big names that we saw in 2018. Just so happens that the 1-2 and this next pick, the third overall pick, were some of the big names on offense. So we mentioned him, that he might have gone into the Cleveland Browns. Sam Darnold, how do you think the Jets made out with him?
I mean, he's it doesn't really matter if they like him or they don't. He's their guy. There was not a lot of room for the Jets to go in any other direction. They needed to take a quarterback. I think that I have a buddy that's a Jets fan. He was pretty all this leading up to the draft process. He was thinking, you know, we're going to get Baker, we're going to get Josh Allen, because they thought Darnold was the surefire number one pick. Darnold, who was the number one ranked quarterback going in, ended up falling, and he was ecstatic. I mean, watching Darnold, I don't know if he he has it or not. He's not that fun to watch, you know, kind of boring playing for the New York Jets, but they got no other choice. The Jets fans got to ride Sam Darnold for the next decade. So I'd say it's a boom.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, he's boring, you know, he is he's the quarterback that's going to go out there, you know, eventually he's going to be the guy that can get the job done for you, but he's never going to be the flashy Baker Mayfield type of guy. You know what I mean? He's not going to be fun. He's not going to do anything interesting, but he might go out there and get you some wins. You know, I live up in Morristown, New Jersey, and everyone up here is a Jets fan. And I mean, I haven't heard a single one of these guys say a bad thing about Darnold. So just judging off of that, I mean, I think he's a boom for them. Obviously, I think they would have been better off if Baker Mayfield did fall to them. But Darnold, not too bad.
I'll say one more thing about Darnold. He seemed, from the games I watched and on Red Zone too, he seemed poised and he seemed confident. Playing in New York, you know, you gotta know what you're doing. You gotta have thick skin. And there really wasn't a point in time last season where Darnold seemed to struggle with the bright lights of New York City.
Yeah, and that's definitely one thing that you could take from Darnold is kind of his maturity level already.
Definitely.
And like you said, playing in New York, that's huge, especially since, I mean, unless they go out and they grab Le'Veon Bell this offseason, I mean, they still don't have any legitimate weapons for him.
No. So, Robbie Anderson could be gone too, so a lot of holes to fill on that team. But, I mean, I guess he's the building block, so.
Yeah, so it'll definitely be interesting to see what they do in the coming years, especially in 2019. So I was only going to plan to highlight, you know, the position players, the running backs, the receivers, the quarterbacks. But this next guy is just so good and such a game changer that I have to bring him up for the Indianapolis Colts at number 6, Quentin Nelson.
I knew that's where you're going with that. He's great.
He's so good. I mean, Marlon Mack's a good running back, but Quentin Nelson leads that offensive line, gets Andrew Luck to – Andrew Luck was barely on the ground this year, which is something we've never seen for Andrew Luck. And then he helped make Marlon Mack look like an elite running back like every other game.
Yeah, so the thing with offensive guards, they usually tend to not go in the top 10, let alone top 15 or even top 20. You don't really see guards going that high that often. But you just know, looking at Quentin Nelson, that he was a great pick, and they got it right with him. I mean, he killed it. I mean, I remember watching the playoff games and even the Eagles-Colts game. Like, he's a beast. Like, he's a physical specimen to even look at. It was 10 degrees in Indianapolis or wherever the playoff game was. He was wearing a sleeveless shirt. Like, his toughness is unquestionable. It's very, very good. And I mean, it's hard. This is might be a little bit of an overreaction, but you can look at Quentin Nelson and say that he could be a potential future Hall of Famer just by watching him his first season. There's very few guys that you can do that for. I mean, Joe Thomas, we were a little young when he was a rookie, but I remember playing like Madden with him, and I remember some of the announcers even on Madden saying, like, this guy's going to have a hell of a career. And I feel like Quentin Nelson's kind of a guy like that too, where, I mean, he's playing at guard in front of Andrew Luck, who has a lot more years in front of him. He could protect him for the next 10, 15 years. And, he might end up a Hall of Famer. We don't know. But from the looks of it, it looked like he's trending that way, even after just one season.
Oh, absolutely. One of the best picks of the entire 2018 NFL draft right there. So back to the position players. Pick number 7, Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen. How do you feel about him?
Josh Allen, man. The fun fact about Josh Allen, he led the Bills in rushing his his rookie season. So the guy's athletic. And honestly, credit to him, Buffalo didn't really have that much to work with. I mean, LeSean McCoy had a dud of a season. I feel like they're definitely going to fill some holes on the offensive side of the ball in this upcoming draft. But for what he had to work with, props to Josh Allen. He's just Josh Allen, you know? There's not really much to say. I mean, he's definitely looks like a serviceable NFL quarterback. And, I mean, I give that a boom, too. I mean, the Bills needed a quarterback, and, yeah, boom, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a stellar passer, but the athleticism he shows on the ground is unquestioned. I mean, what was it? He broke like Mike Vick's like 5-game span record or something like that at the end of the season here. And
it's impressive because Mike Vick's one of the all-time greatest, let alone quarterback rushers in the league.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, hats off to Josh Allen for that. And I mean, his top receiver to work with, I guess, was Zay Jones.
I guess.
So, I mean, if you want to count Zay Jones as a top receiver. So, you know, I guess that was a good pick for Buffalo. This next guy, I have a sneaking suspicion we're finally going to have someone to talk bad about. Arizona Cardinals, number 10 overall, Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen. I mean, I honestly, I did not get to watch that many Cardinals games, but just from kind of seeing clips and seeing stat lines, he's your generic rookie quarterback. I mean, not going to come in and kill it his rookie season, but he seemed to have, you know, get a good grip. I mean, he didn't come into the season as a starter. Bradford was a starter. They benched Bradford and then turned to Josh Rosen. And I mean, he wasn't terrible in coming in with the new quarterback whisperer, Cliff Kingsbury. They could mesh well together. They might not. Hopefully they're on the same page. But I mean, I personally agree with you. I didn't think that he was in the same class as, say, Baker or honestly even Darnold. I guess he was – I don't know. I don't want to say bust, you know, and I don't want to say boom. So what are your thoughts on that?
I am not a huge Rosen fan. I don't know if you can really put all the fault on him. I mean, the whole Arizona squad was just a dumpster fire this year. Not much going on defense, not much going on offense. I'm hoping that with the change in the head coach and, you know, if they switch around their coaching staff a little bit, I'm hoping that kind of revamps them. I mean, they have Larry Fitzgerald, who is one of the best receivers to ever play the game. I mean, granted, he's getting old, but he's still got some gas in the tank. They have David Johnson, who is like 2 years removed from like a record-breaking running back season. So they have the weapons. It's just a matter of putting everything together, and it'll be interesting to see if they'll be able to do that for Josh Rosen. So I'm not calling him a bust, but I'm definitely, definitely not calling him a boom for them at this point.
I agree. I concur.
So next up, we have my boys, the Carolina Panthers. Now I like this pick. I do. But at the time, and even still a little bit, I really wanted them to take Calvin Ridley. They took DJ Moore instead. I think I was at the bar, and I was watching the draft at this point. I had gotten out of class, went straight to the bar, and DJ Moore pops up, and I was so surprised that they didn't take Calvin Ridley. And I still don't know how I feel about taking DJ Moore over Calvin Ridley. From your perspective, as not a Carolina Panthers fan, what do you see?
I mean, it's looking back on it, it's tough to see that Calvin Ridley went at 26 and had the year that he did. I mean, 64 catches as the number two receiver on the Falcons and 10 touchdowns. I'm sure it must hurt a little bit to see that the front office kind of, I guess, I don't know if he was a prospect of them or not, but they kind of may have went the wrong way because, yeah, Calvin really had a year, man. And yeah. But that's not to say that the DJ Moore can't improve. I mean, look at Nelson Aguilar, first-round pick. Brutal first year. Brutal second year. Couldn't catch the ball. They even benched him because he couldn't catch the ball. And now, serviceable slot receiver, Super Bowl champion. So he could turn it around.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping. I mean, I feel like the reason why they went with DJ Moore instead of Calvin Ridley, I mean, Calvin Ridley is a home run hitting wide receiver. There's no question about that. And I think they shied away from him and went DJ Moore just because of his agility and because he's so shifty on the route run. And I guess, you know, I can definitely see how a player like that would work better for Cam Newton. But at the same time, ever since Steve Smith left the team all those years ago, we haven't had a home run hitting wide receiver. So how the hell are we going to know until we try? So I do like DJ Moore. I would call him a good pick for the Panthers. I just think they could have had a better pick if they went with Ridley.
I hear that 100%.
So then speaking of Calvin Ridley, two picks later, he goes to the Atlanta Falcons. We both already know we're going to say he's a boom. Do you miss anything on him, or can we move on?
Did he have a great year, but he's also getting mentored and befriended Julio Jones, who could be the best receiver in the game right now. So
one of the greatest receivers of all time.
Absolutely. And he just turned 30 too.
So, and that's not ancient for receivers. That's still like the end of the prime for receivers. So
yeah, for sure.
Julio's going to be in the league for many years to come, as long as he, you know, doesn't have injury issues or anything like that, which, knock on wood. So we only got three more guys to talk about from the 2018 draft. Actually, you know what? We skipped one. For the Baltimore Ravens at number 25, Hayden Hurst, tight end.
Yeah, so there was definitely a need for Baltimore to go after a tight end, but he didn't have a great year. He went to South Carolina. He was a Gamecock, and his final two seasons at South Carolina, he went for 44 and 48 catches, compared to only 13 catches this past season, and only a touchdown. So he's definitely gonna be big for a nice little safety net for Lamar Jackson for years to come. But you have to think, you know, like if only Baltimore went with and another route, maybe a defensive player or even a running back or receiver as an offensive weapon, how much that could have helped him in the playoffs. You have to think that.
Oh, absolutely. And then when we go over, I mean, there was two running backs taken between the Baltimore Ravens 25th overall pick and the Baltimore Ravens 32nd overall pick. And, you know, one of these guys is questionable. But the other guy, I mean, if they would have taken him instead of Hayden Hurst, that would have been a huge game changer.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But overall, I'd say Hayden Hurst, to be honest, about what I expected for a rookie tight end. It's going to be interesting to see how he's incorporated going forward, just because Lamar Jackson, I don't want to say it's been abysmal in the air, but let's face it. I mean, if we take away Lamar Jackson's legs, he doesn't have much to prove or much to show from his first season in the NFL.
Yeah, and speaking of rookie tight ends, I don't know if this was in your plans to go ahead and talk about him, but the Eagles did not have a first-round pick last year. They traded back with the Ravens, as a matter of fact, and they took Dallas Goedert. yeah, and real quick, if you want to touch on him, I'm not sure if that's something you want to do. But
yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, man.
I'm not too sure of his stat line, but in the end of the season, he came up pretty big. I mean, Zach Ertz, top three tight end in the league, had to have just another guy. You know, like you remember dating back to the Patriots days when they ran Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, God rest his soul, together. You know, that definitely worked out well for them. And you see more and more teams going after that route. And Goddard seemed like he is definitely capable of running routes and blocking for whoever's at quarterback underneath behind center. So I really like the Goddard pick. He's a big physical guy, and he's a pretty decent route runner too. So I like where things are heading for Dallas Goedert for sure.
Yeah, I think it was a complete steal, and I remember, you know, I'm not an Eagles fan. I didn't follow it too closely. When they picked him, I was like, okay, he's behind Zach Ertz. We won't be seeing too much of him. And they incorporated him a ton this year.
They really did. I was pretty shocked they did.
And you know what? He was a reliable name. You know, when they called his numbers, he made the play. So I think going forward, that's a phenomenal pick for the Eagles.
It really was. Couldn't be happier.
Yeah. A pick that I think was botched a little bit in the 2018 draft was by the Seattle Seahawks, round one, pick 27. We all thought it was too early at the time, and clearly it was. Rashad Penny.
Yeah, so Rashad Penny from San Diego State, I don't know what his stats were from college, but the last two seasons, or his senior year, he absolutely destroyed it. He had 20 some odd touchdowns. You could tell that he never going to be an every down running back with the Seahawks, cuz you know they have Chris Carson, they have Mike Davis, but you thought that he could kind of get into like the Darren Sproles kind of role, and I mean, he just didn't do it. He had 85 rushes, just over 400 yards. Two touchdowns, 9 catches all year. That's not, I don't think that's what they wanted out of Penny. I remember going back to training camp, they said that he came in a little out of shape, a little overweight. So I mean, going forward with Penny, yeah, like teams like the Patriots, teams like the Eagles, they win Super Bowls with running back by committees. So maybe Penny could find a niche with Carson and Davis. But we'll see. You know, I don't think that they were too thrilled with Penny's performance his rookie year.
Yeah, and the real shame in all of it was that he had every chance to run away with the starting job, multiple times, and he got beat out by Chris Carson. And I think there was one game, maybe two games in a row, where Rashad Penny looked like the pick that they made, and then he just, you know, dutted out again.
Yeah, I remember going, you could see it on the ESPN fantasy app, you know, like people are picking Rashad Penny's high on the waiver wire. Who's stealing Rashad Penny this week on the waiver wire? And I mean, realistically, no one should have been playing Rashad Penny at all. It was just that week or two that he showed up on there. But I mean, going forward, what do you think about him going forward? How do you think he's going to kind of figure it out?
I think that he's lost the job to Chris Carson. I think it's Chris Carson's backfield going forward, and Rashad Penny's just kind of be the complimentary piece.
Which is definitely fine.
But
in terms of value, that's not what you kind of wanted.
Exactly. You don't spend a first round pick on a guy to be your complimentary back. You know, you do that for a guy that's supposed to lead your backfield, and at the very least be, you know, a two down back, or even if he is your third down back. But Rashad Penny has proven that he's not that great of a catcher, apparently. So he's not going to be a third down back. So I think this pick was a bust. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I just don't think it's his backfield anymore.
Definitely.
So we got two more guys to talk about from 2018. Sonny Michel, New England Patriots. Boom.
Yeah, so I remember when Michel got drafted, there's a lot of guys that kind of had it out for that pick. Weren't too high on it, but I mean, his play spoke for itself. Seriously, like he missed 3 games and he just nearly eclipsed 1,000 yards rushing. And when you look at the Patriots, he was a key factor in their playoff run. I mean, you could say that the Patriots don't win some of those, even win the Super Bowl if it wasn't for Sonny Michel. I mean, they got other guys, James White, Rex Burkhead, but it kind of looked like Michel was the most talented back in that committee. What are your thoughts on that? I say boom. Boom of a pick. Hell of a pick.
Oh, huge pick. Huge pick. And you know what? I think with what he did in the playoffs, he shut up a lot of people, because Rex Burkhead came back. You know, they always have a plethora of running backs. But Sonny Michel cemented himself into this offense. He cemented himself as the focal point, not named Tom Brady. And, you know, he's going to see the majority of the backfield snaps going forward. I think we're going to see less James White next year. I think we're going to see a lot less of Rex Burkhead next year. And I think the Patriots have finally found a running back that they can commit to.
Yeah, so you're the fantasy guy. Where do you kind of mock Sonny for the next year? Is he a first-round pick?
I'm not going first-round pick, just because I would never take a running back from Bill Belichick's offense in the first round, just because you never know with him. But I would not be the least bit surprised to see Sonny Michel go in the back end of the second round or the beginning of the third round in 12-team PPR leagues. He's stellar. And I actually traded him away in my dynasty league this year. I ended up getting like Travis Kelce and a pick back. So it definitely worked out for me, but I'm super sad that I'm not going to have Sonny Michel going forward, because he's going to be a stud in this league. He really is.
Yeah. I mean, I could see myself drafting him in the second round, to be honest. He catches passes. And if you're saying that you're going to see less James White and less Rex Burkhead, he's my guy. I like the kid a lot. I really like him.
Yeah, he's going to be something else, man. And then to cap off our recap of the 2018 draft, Lamar Jackson, we already kind of touched base on him. My personal thoughts on him, I like him. I think he was definitely a good pick to get in the, for the final pick of the first round. But I don't think he's as NFL ready as they're saying he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think the folks down in Baltimore like Lamar Jackson a hell of a lot more than the rest of us like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, you look at just a quick analogy to basketball, like Markelle Fultz, he couldn't shoot the ball. That's why the Sixers traded him away. Lamar Jackson might not be able to throw the ball. I mean, he obviously can, but not to the extent that I think you might have to be as NFL quarterback. I mean, he's definitely got the legs. But you remember there's a lot of controversy about him coming into the draft. You know, is he quarterback? Is he a receiver? And the Ravens actually gave him the shot at being quarterback, but I honestly just don't love him as a quarterback. I don't. I don't think that he is going to be a quarterback, the Ravens quarterback for the next 10 years. They can't win with him. I truly believe that.
Yeah, and it's such a change from Joe Flacco.
Such a change. Night and day.
Yeah, like, you know how we were talking about, you know, Sam Darnold, he's boring, but he's a guy that can get it done if he has to. That's kind of how I've always pictured Joe Flacco when Joe Flacco was in his prime. I mean, I think he's a little bit past that now. But the total 180 that this team did with quarterback styles is nuts.
Crazy. Not even like a transitional period, you know.
No.
Like, rip the Band-Aid off. Let's get Lamar legs in there.
I know. So it'll be interesting to see what they do going forward. But so that was our recap of the 2018 draft. Overall, you know, there's obviously a lot of guys we didn't go over, but overall, I'd say the first round, a lot of people hit, you know, a lot of teams hit home runs with their picks.
Yeah, specifically even the top 10 there. I mean, we talked about even Josh Rosen not being a boom, not being a bust. He was the pick for the Cardinals, the right pick. There really was not a bad pick like in the top 10 at all. And in the draft as a whole, yeah, a couple teams probably wish they could have gone a different route. But for the most part, the 2018 draft was a pretty good draft.
Yeah, so I know we're all hoping that 2019 is going to be just as good. And Andrew and I went in a couple weeks ago. We did our own mock draft based off of our own personal rankings, based off of what we think each team's biggest needs are. Andrew took all of the odd number picks. I took all the even number picks. So we're not going to go through all of them. You know, if you want to read the entire article, you know, it's on goallinefantasy.home.blog. And you can find it right on there. Or if you go to the Goal Line Fantasy Twitter page at goalline_FFB, you can find our website on there and feel free to do some exploring. But we are going to go over a handful of picks here. So, Andrew, I'll let you start off with the number one overall pick, the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, so you blessed me with the privilege of selecting the number one pick, but unfortunately, there wasn't really much discrepancy in my opinion. You know, like, you take a look at any of these mock drafts online, just Google NFL mock draft 2019, you're getting the same flavor. You're getting Nick Bosa from Ohio State. I mean, yeah, he's a stud. And I think the thing with Bosa is, like, you know what you're going to get with him. His brother is playing for the Chargers in Los Angeles. He's a hell of a player. You don't really think that Bosa's gonna be bad. I mean, he had 17 and a half sacks in almost 30 collegiate games. He's a beast. He's gonna get to the quarterback. And you throw him over with on Arizona, and you pair him with Chandler Jones. They're gonna have a really good pass rush. And I know that the Cardinals were just kind of a dumpster fire of a team last year, but new coach, you know, new system, having two really good pass rushers on the defensive side of the football, it really can help a football team just in general. You know, you're getting to the quarterback, maybe cause a couple more interceptions in the secondary. He's going to be a big threat on the defensive side of the ball. So they're going to go Bosa. Everyone knows it. You can lock that in right now if you're a better. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a good pick for him.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think there's any possibility Arizona trades this pick to get a little bit more draft stock?
So you mentioned to me that when we were doing this mock draft. Yeah, there's definitely a possibility, but I mean, if there's a guy out there that's the unanimous number one pick, yeah, I think you got to take him. I mean, it's not a sexy pick per se. I mean, it is sexy, but then again, it's a defensive end, so it's not like it's not sexy. You know, you think back when the Texans 2006 when they drafted Mario Williams, everyone thought they could have gone Vince Young or Reggie Bush. Yeah, the team could have that wanted Reggie Bush or Vince Young could have traded up. They could have hopped over the Titans and the Saints and picked one of those guys. But the Texans, they stayed put and they drafted Mario Williams. And yeah, the Texans haven't really won anything, but he was a really good pick and he was a really good player and he had a hell of a career. So I mean, yeah, they definitely could trade the pick. I mean, even as far as getting value back, I don't think they're going to just because I think that the Bose is like a hell of a pick. What are your thoughts on?
I agree. And just even having the last name Bosa, I mean, that bumps him up in all of our minds at least a little bit because you know how explosive, you know, his brother is in for Los Angeles, almost at San Diego. But yeah, he's going to be the number one overall pick unless something drastic happens between now and April. He's going to be the guy, and you know, like you said, I can't imagine Arizona getting a return that's worth it to get rid of Bosa.
Yeah, let me ask you a question though. So you're talking, you think that someone's going to trade up to take Bosa, or do you think that they're going to trade up maybe to jump the 49ers from taking someone? What are if a trade were to happen, it would be for Bosa or for someone else? What do you think about that?
Well, it really depends because with the number two pick, you know, it's the 49ers, and I currently have them taking Josh Allen. But in the article, you know, I noted that I'm fairly certain the 49ers are going to trade this pick. The top two candidates for this pick would be the New York Giants or the Jacksonville Jaguars if they want to go for a quarterback and they want to make sure that they get their quarterback, that they get Dwayne Haskins at number two overall. Do I think this is a little bit early? Absolutely. But you never know what's going to happen in this league. I mean, there's a handful of teams that could trade up to one or two, so one of them might have to jump the gun to do it. I think there's a bigger chance of the number two overall pick getting traded as opposed to the number one overall pick. But it's still a possibility depending on, you know, what they think is going to happen with that number two pick.
Yeah. So, you know, you take a look back in history of some of the teams that have jumped up to one or two, and it takes a lot of ammo. You know, it takes a lot of picks. It could take a player. But if you look at all the teams in the draft this year, there's one team that has more ammo than anyone, and that's the – I'm not even going to put a city in front of their name because who the hell knows where they're playing. It could be Oakland, could be San Francisco. It's going to be Vegas, just the Raiders. I mean, I don't see the Raiders jumping up to take either of these guys. Do you think that's something that's possible? They definitely could if they wanted to with three first-round picks. I just don't – they traded their Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack to kind of get – value and kind of get play to get a defensive stud and they traded away. So,
you know, it wouldn't surprise me, but I think, I mean, if I could speak for the entire football community, I'm going to be so confused if they gave up Khalil Mack to draft Nick Bosa. You know what I mean? Like, you have one defensive powerhouse that's proven in the league. You have this next guy that is going to come in and, you know, he's got a 95% chance at being a defensive powerhouse. But I'm not going to be surprised if they do this just because Lord only knows what goes on there. I think they'll be a lot smarter if they just keep their three first round picks and, you know, they build off of that. But I mean, dude, anything can happen.
Yeah. I mean, they imagine them taking defensive end and then taking a receiver with the Cooper pick just to supplement everything that they lost.
I think I would piss my pants. I think I really would, no matter where I was. That would be hysterical.
Tell us a little bit about Josh Allen, though.
Yeah, so the 49ers with the number two pick of the 2019 draft, we have them taking Josh Allen. He's a linebacker from Kentucky. And in his time there, he played 42 games. Total 220 tackles, had 31 and a half sacks, 11 forced fumbles, and a pick. he's one of these guys where you're going to get him and he's going to be as advertised. You know, there's no speculation around him. There's no more development to be had. I mean, this guy's NFL ready. He's going to come in. He has proven stats and he is a very safe pick and a very, very high chance to be taken in the top three. So I think it makes a lot of sense if the 49ers end up keeping this, this pick. You know, they don't have a whole hell of a lot that they're going to need on offense, especially if they go out and grab Antonio Brown, like I think they're going to. So if they beef up their defense, draft Josh Allen, I mean, the 49ers could be a sleeper team next year if they do this.
Yeah. So I remember, checking out a mock draft, like maybe a year or so ago for 2019. And I see Josh Allen. I'm like, no, that's wrong. Like Josh Allen just got drafted. What are you talking about? And then doing some more digging. This Josh Allen from Kentucky might be better than Josh Allen from Buffalo. He could end up being a better player.
Yeah.
I got a buddy that goes to Kentucky and he loves it. And he said Josh Allen's a legit star on defense. So he could be as advertised as what you said.
Yeah, so I mean, I think if the 49ers keep that, as of this moment in time, I figure Josh Allen is an obvious guy to take if Bosa's not there.
I agree.
So we'll skip ahead a few picks because, you know, picks 3 through 6 were, you know, just offensive linemen and, you know, defensive linemen, whoever. But number 7, the Jacksonville Jaguars, you went a different route. Now, I thought that you were going to have them pick up a quarterback, but you went a little different. You want to explain your pick?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's an obvious need for a quarterback down in Jacksonville. Personally, and this is just – I mean, you've seen the smoke on Twitter. I think that the Jaguars are going to get out there Nick Foles. You know, they got a new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, who was the quarterback coach with the Eagles last year. So there's a relationship there. Yeah, I mean, look what happens when the Jaguars draft a quarterback in the top 10. You get Blake Bortles. I mean, there's going to be guys. There's going to be a guy to get. I think they got to go with a playmaker, too. Whoever you insert into that lineup under center, you're going to have to give him a playmaker. And I think I want A.J. Brown, wide receiver from Ole Miss. Looking back a couple of weeks later, you know, take a step back, take a look at our mock draft. It's a little high for him. I totally understand. I mean, DK Metcalf, another Ole Miss wide receiver, he's going to go ahead of A.J. Brown. But for the sake of this mock draft, I have A.J. Brown going to Jacksonville. And A.J. Brown is a huge physical threat. I mean, when I look at him, big, big red zone threat. He weighs 230 pounds. And just to give you some comparison, Julio Jones weighs 220. And when you think Julio Jones, you think pretty big wide receiver. He is 10 pounds heavier than Julio Jones. A.J. Green weighs 207 pounds. I mean, A.J. Brown is huge. He's a big, big body. Again, huge red zone target. A lot of experts out there are comparing him to Juju Smith. And, I mean, just to be in that same name as Juju, even after a couple seasons, it's a league company. I mean, I don't know if A.J. Brown's going to be a top 10 pick, but he's going to be a good receiver, and I truly believe that.
Yeah, and you know what? When you first told me that you were going to take A.J. Brown here for the Jaguars, I was skeptical. But then after you explained, I was like, holy shit, you're right. It makes so much sense. It makes so much sense for them to go after Nick Foles. And, I mean, A.J. Brown, he's got every potential to be a star. The only thing that worries me about A.J. Brown is he obviously has the name. And he's obviously very closely associated with Antonio Brown. You know, Antonio Brown's always shouting him out on Instagram, everything like that. That part kind of scares me because there's so much hype around him to the point where I feel like it's too good to be true. And I think you're right. I do think DK Metcalf is going to end up, you know, going before AJ Brown, but I'll be surprised to see him fall out of the first round. But if the Jaguars go out and they get Nick Foles, it makes perfect sense for them to reach for a receiver with the 7th pick.
Yeah. So quickly, I mentioned that Jacksonville has not had a good success drafting quarterbacks in the first round. I mean, they went after Blake Bortles and he was terrible. But thinking about it now, the history of the Jaguars receivers, man. Like, you look at Justin Blackmon from Oklahoma State. He was supposed to be – he won the Biletnikoff Award at Oklahoma State. He was a phenomenal receiver. He, what, had struggled to no end at in Jacksonville, you know, a couple DUIs or marijuana. I'm not quite sure what it was, but he fell out of the league. And then you look at – I don't remember Marcus Lee. Marcus Lee was supposed to be from USC, was supposed to be a hell of a prospect, you know, one of the best receiving prospects in years. And, I mean, he's still on the team, but he's not anything special, you know. Like, I don't – I mean, they haven't had great history. I think that they – I mean, you can't really worry about that. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to go receiver. That's my – I really do believe so. And hopefully they're able to hit this time as opposed to some of the other in years past.
Absolutely. And then you actually have another team taking a receiver. Two picks later, the Buffalo Bills with number 9 overall. Looks like they go and get their own Josh Allen a weapon. So you have them taking from Arizona State, N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, so 9th pick in the draft. I mean, when you look at their needs, you know, they need a receiver. For as bad as the team was, they really don't have that many necessarily holes, you know. Like, they need a receiver. Kai Williams is retiring, so you could replace him at defensive tackle. But their defense was one of the best defenses in the year this year. So, I mean, I don't think they're necessarily going to bolster that unit in the first round per se. I mean, so that I guess that leads to them taking N'Keal Harry at 9, receiver from Arizona State. I mean, he's a versatile playmaker. You know, he has experience playing a little wildcat offense. And throw him back there with Josh Allen, they could do some pretty cool things with the ball, Josh Allen and N'Keal Harry. Yeah, so he's got good size, 6'3", 216. Whenever you get a chance, do a quick YouTube search, N'Keal Harry, the highlight tape on YouTube. We mentioned Saquon Barkley being a human highlight reel. Harry has a hell of a lot of good catches, and he might be a human highlight reel himself.
Yeah, I think he'll really compliment, you know, we were kind of making fun of it earlier, but I genuinely think he'll be a good compliment for Zay Jones. You know, I think the two could feed off of each other, and I think, you know, if they figure out, obviously, a couple things in Buffalo, give it a couple years, have Josh Allen, give him Harry, he's still got Zay Jones. I think they could turn into something at least worth watching.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they still got Shady back there, Shady McCoy. Like I mentioned, the defense is strong defensive unit. So they could put it all together. I mean, they got a good coach too, McDermott. So, I mean, yeah, this could be one of the last years that Buffalo's picking in the top 10, hopefully. We'll see.
Yeah, I hope they – I'm sure the Bills Mafia is hoping that too. But, all right, so now we're going to skip over to pick number 11. That's right. We are out of the top 10 of the 2019 NFL draft, and a quarterback has finally been picked. This was another one of Andrew's pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. Take it away, buddy.
Yeah. So before we go into this, I just want to mention that a lot of mocks out there Haskins being mocked to the Giants, or is it Murray mocked to the Giants? I don't think the Giants are going to go after a quarterback. And I guess we'll touch on that after we go through this, or do you want to touch on this right now?
No, go ahead, man.
Yeah, so, you had the Giants pick, and you skipped over a quarterback. I can't see the Giants going after a quarterback with the line that they have. I think they're going to go after a lineman, like you had him mocked. Who did you have the Giants
taking? I believe we had Jonah Williams Jonah Williams from Alabama.
Yeah, so I mean they're gonna pass on the best quarterback in the draft, the Giants, in my opinion. But you can't take a quarterback without a line. I mean, yeah, Darnold. Yeah, I mean, look what I mean. He, like we said, he was a boom, but he didn't have a fantastic year. He's gonna benefit from a left tackle, a center, a guard, someone. Just the Giants have too many holes on the offensive line to take a quarterback. So I think the Giants are gonna pass on a quarterback. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the exact same reasoning that I had, you know, when I had them take Jonah Williams. It's that, you know, we talked about how this team is going to be built around Saquon Barkley. Barkley was able to run behind one of the most abysmal offensive lines in football, and he looked pretty damn good. So if they can add an offensive lineman, you know, not only to protect Eli Manning, but to help out Barkley, you know, that's, to me, that's more important than drafting a quarterback in the first round. You know, they can still have a few serviceable years from Eli. I don't think he's going to do anything crazy, but I don't think Haskins or Kyler Murray, I don't think either of these two guys are, in my opinion, worth a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. And I think the Giants are going to be extremely smart if they go out, they draft a stud offensive lineman with an incredible amount of upside, and just build their line before they throw a rookie in there, because they're going to, when they draft a rookie, it's going to be to start now, you know, and you don't want to put a start now rookie quarterback behind that offensive line.
I agree with every single thing you said. I mean, if the Giants were my pick, I would have done the exact same thing you did, but going, I guess, back to Cincinnati at 11. Yeah. I haven't taken Haskins at 11, quarterback from Ohio State. And I don't know if anyone knew or not knew what kind of quarterback he was. I don't know how familiar people are with ESPN First Take, Stephen A. Smith. Dwayne Haskins is not a running quarterback. He's a throwing passer. He throws the ball. I think it was maybe 230 yards on the ground in his career, but he is a pro-style NFL quarterback. And just that, he's a pro-style NFL quarterback. So, I mean, Bengals have a new coach, Zach Taylor, who's, I guess, one of the prodigies of Sean McVay. He's a QB whisperer as a former quarterback himself. He's got the acumen to develop a new quarterback, and new coach, I mean, usually comes with a new quarterback. And if you take a look at the rest of the division in the AFC North, the Ravens got their guy. The Browns have their guy. The Steelers, I mean, they kind of look like they're a hot mess right now. Big Ben, I mean, I don't know how much longer he's going to be under helm, but eventually they're going to go with their new guy. I think the Bengals got to get up with the times and just realize that Andy Dalton's not taking you anywhere. They got to make sure they don't fall behind. You know, Lamar Jackson or Baker, they could end up being really good quarterbacks, and the division might be out of their hands for a while. So they want to make sure that they get their guy. I like Haskins. I saw him play a couple times. Like I said, he's a pro-style quarterback. They got A.J. Green. They have a good running back duo in the backfield. The Bengals aren't terrible, and I think that Andy Dalton might just be the guy that's holding them back, I mean, aside from Marvin Lewis and company. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, new coach, new quarterback. They're married together, and I think this would be a really good marriage.
Yeah, and you know what? Unlike the Giants, the Bengals – they could throw in a rookie quarterback and tell him to play. Their offensive line isn't terrible. They've got, you know, Joe Mixon, who's a stellar running back. They got Gio Bernard, who is a great, you know, third down kind of guy. Not only do they have A.J. Green, but they do have Tyler Boyd, who is phenomenal. And this is a team that Hoskins could get on and run away with pretty early. You know, there's a lot of talent, and there would be a phenomenal learning curve for him there. There's not any expectations of winning in Cincinnati right now. So if you take Haskins there and, you know, you have a development year with him in 2019, I guarantee by 2020, he's ready to go. He's on point with AJ Green, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon's looking phenomenal. You beef up the offensive line for him a little bit, and Haskins is a great pick for them there.
Yeah, and I mean, you look back at Ohio State quarterbacks, they generally don't translate to the NFL that well. I think Dwayne Haskins, though, like, he's a little bit different than the rest of them. And he's kind of got the it factor. Like, he's a winner. Ohio State's won a lot of games with him under center. And he set a lot of records at Ohio State, too. So, I mean, yeah, I really like Haskins to the Bengals. I could most certainly see that happening.
You know what I'm realizing now? You had all of the fun picks in our draft. Oh my God. So this next pick, obviously another one of Andrew's. Fast forward to pick 15. So we skipped picks 12 through 14. The Washington Redskins have had quarterback troubles for a little while now. And now that Alex Smith is potentially done for good.
Forever.
Yeah. I mean, this pick, Kyler Murray, number 15 overall from Oklahoma.
You want to give your take first? I'm kind of seeing all the fun stuff. You want to go after that or?
You know, I think it makes sense. And if Kyler Murray's still there, number 15, I'd be shocked to see them not take him. You know, obviously he's the Heisman winner. Unlike Dwayne Haskins, he actually is a runner on the ground. You know, he had 1,000 yards on the ground and 12 touchdowns in 2018 to go with only 7 interceptions, 42 touchdowns, 4,300 yards in the air. I mean, he's an animal, and it's very obvious why he won the Heisman. You know, and this team, they tried transitioning into something different with Alex Smith. So I wouldn't say Alex Smith is a run first kind of guy. You know, he's a little old for that. But Alex Smith had legs, and he knew how to use those legs. And I think they were really shaping their offense to having a quarterback, you know, similar to that. Plus, they have Darius Geis coming back, which is going to be a huge difference.
Whoever they take, they're getting 2 first-round picks because he didn't play last year.
Exactly. And if you can start Kyler Murray and Darius Geis in the same year in an offense that's already made to fit Kyler Murray, I mean, they could see some phenomenal results with this.
That sounds extremely electric, those two in the backfield. But yeah, so I mean, everyone's seen Kyler Murray play, but the thing is, though, you don't know what's going to happen with them. Is he going to play football? Is he going to play baseball? There's a little bit of a gray area there. Like, he's going to be in the combine next March, but you never know. And I feel like it's only right that the Redskins are the team to take someone with a little bit of gray area, because I mean, the Redskins are the worst ran organization in sports. And wouldn't it just be funny to see Kyler Murray drafted by the Redskins and then sign with go to spring training with the Athletics? I mean, that would be great. As an Eagles fan, I don't want to see him go there, but the fact of the matter is the Redskins need a quarterback. Kyler Murray could be the best quarterback available at this time. It could work. It definitely could work. I mean, at one point this past season, the Redskins were in first place in the NFC East. They were on their way to the playoffs until Alex Smith got hurt. So, I mean, inserting – I don't know if Kyler ready to go day one, week one, but, I mean, he might have to be.
Yeah, I got to say, you know, out of every pick that we have in the first round, this is definitely in my top 3. I love this pick for Washington.
Definitely. Let me ask you a question, though. You think that a guy like Kyler Murray is a player that a team's going to want to trade up for, or do you think there's, again, too much gray area for a team to give up assets to go get him?
Well, it depends. If he makes his decision before NFL draft day, we could see a lot of last-minute trades. Kyler Murray is... I wouldn't say he's better than Dwayne Haskins, just because Kyler Murray is a very college style quarterback, and a lot of times there's a scary transition into the NFL.
Yeah, look at Manziel. Manziel won the Heisman.
Exactly. So
running style quarterback.
So I have a sneaking suspicion that I don't think anyone's going to trade up for him. I think if the cards are just right and he lands on a team that's QB needy, I think that they'll pull the trigger and take him. But I don't see anyone trading up for him.
So follow-up question. You think that there's a chance he could fall out of the first round just in general? Like I said, the combine's coming up in March. He could run blazing fast, 40, could throw the ball real – I don't know if he's going to throw, but at his pro day he'll throw. You think there's a shot that he falls out of the first round?
I think there is.
Even if he kills it at said pro day and combine?
Yeah, because, you know, how many pissed off fans are you going to have if you take a first round pick that ends up playing baseball? You know, it's just one of those things where if you take him in the first round, he is the literal definition of a high risk, high reward pick. And even the high reward isn't as high as you think it is, because he is that college-style running back, and you don't know how he's going to transition. You know, I like I said, I think it makes a ton of sense for Washington to take Kyler Murray at number 15 overall. But on draft day, if Kyler Murray is not committed to the NFL, he's a tough grab.
Another thing that I'm not sure that we mentioned, he's short. And I mean, I can't, that's the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, I'm 5'9". Can't really say much, but as an NFL quarterback, it's definitely a fault on him. Like, you see him even on the shows on ESPN. His height is just always mentioned as probably his biggest weakness. And, I mean, you look at Breeze, you look at Russell Wilson, they're short guys. They win, but you gotta think about his height. I mean, that's a big factor. So that could be, again, a reason why a team might be turned off from him.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Kyler Murray. But, I mean, I think he's going to go into the first round. But I won't be surprised to see if he, you know, falls out of it for that reason alone. So we got, let's see here, we got five more picks that we're going to go over for you guys. And then we'll end the show with a little Philadelphia Eagles draft talk. But this next one's for me. So I'm a Carolina Panthers fan.
Have at it.
Exactly. I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. This guy, Greedy Williams, defensive back from LSU, is not going to fall to Carolina in real life. And I'm realizing that now because his draft stock has completely shot up to the point where I'm seeing him as like a top five, top six pick. So Greedy Williams, I need you to slow down so we can take you at number 16. Before I get into it, do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, maybe pull a hammy at the combine. Will you? Yeah, like you're more familiar with him than I am. So, yeah, I mean, when can you not use a ball hogging cornerback?
Yeah, and he's the best defensive back in this draft by far, in my opinion. You know, in 24 games, he has 8 interceptions and 19 passes deflected. Plus, his personality, I mean, he is just an absolute nuisance. And I love that about cornerbacks.
Check out his name.
Exactly. And then, you know, you have a guy like Jalen. I mean, I'm not going to compare him to Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey's one of a kind. But Jalen Ramsey has the trash-talking ability and the natural ability to back up the trash-talking. And I think that's something that Greedy Williams sort of has, and I'm really excited about that. But my main thought is this. So anyone who's a Carolina Panthers fan would agree with me that the team's biggest need is an offensive line. However, there are talks that Cam Newton will be sitting out all of 2019 because of his shoulder surgery. And personally, even though it breaks my heart to say this, I say, great move. Let's just take 2019, chalk it up as a loss. Let Cam Newton get healthy, and you know we'll come back in 2020. Now, the reason why I want them to take Greedy Williams is because that defense is good. We have a good defense. We're just missing a final piece in the secondary, and I think Greedy Williams could be the final piece. So we might be able to squeak out some wins with the defense at that point. And then in the second round, hopefully they'll go for a defensive lineman to replace, you know, Julius Peppers. And then after that, I would be perfectly content rounds 3 through 7 going offensive lineman, offensive lineman, offensive lineman, offensive lineman, and just getting all of their O-linemen ready for when Cam Newton comes back in 2020. Makes me extremely nervous that they would be rolling with Taylor Heinicke as their quarterback in 2019.
There's other guys out there too, though.
Exactly. And who knows? Maybe they'll be a part of the Nick Foles sweepstakes for the year.
McCown, Fitzpatrick, Nick Foles. Yeah.
Exactly. So you never know. But I think if they go out, they take Greedy Williams, he'll be immediately ready to play. He'll be a phenomenal addition to the secondary. He'll blend right in with them. And I genuinely think this team can win some games purely through their defense with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at teams that have done exactly what you just said. I mean, the Ravens did it. The Ravens won with Joe Flacco as their quarterback. Who else was even on that team? The running back was – it wasn't someone notable. And the Panthers have McCaffrey, who was better than whoever the running back for the Ravens was. So, I mean, yeah, I like the pick. I really do.
Hell yeah, man. I'm really hoping that he falls. But, I mean, it's February and I'm already not getting my hopes up. So we'll see what actually happens. But fast forward, 5 picks in the future, pick 21. Andrew has the Seattle Seahawks taking Noah Fant, tight end out of Iowa.
Yeah, Noah Fant. I don't want to spend too much time talking about a tight end. I mean, I know we touched on it earlier, but yeah, he Nick Fant, last two seasons, 18 touchdowns in the Big Ten. I mean, Big Ten's pretty good defensive football, so to be able to get that many touchdowns is impressive. 6'4", he's big, really good route running ability. I mean, he can line up anywhere on the field, inside, outside. Yeah, and Russell Wilson's 30 years old. He's not getting any younger, and I think you just want to kind of surround him with the most amount of weapons that you can. The Seahawks, I mean, they lost Jimmy Graham last year. Jimmy Graham wasn't great on the Seahawks, but he definitely helped kind of be like a safety net for Russell Wilson. And just Russell Wilson, to me, has just always lacked just like a target, you know, like a go-to guy. Yeah, Doug Baldwin's a really good receiver. He's not like it, though. He's not the guy. And I think that just Noah Fant could be like the red zone guy, the red zone target. Could rack up 10, 12 touchdowns a year. So I like this pick. I like putting weapons with Russell Wilson just because he's a really good quarterback. He is a future Hall of Famer. And I think that, again, he's not getting any younger. The Seahawks have a pretty good defense. I mean, they have a good defense, but yeah, there are needs. But if you look at that Seahawks-Cowboys game, they ran some bad plays. You know, they didn't score. It was a bad offensive game. Pete Carroll called a bad offensive game. And I just think adding to the help in any way you can is going to benefit the Seahawks in general.
You know, it's funny. I can think of at least one other time Pete Carroll has a botched offensive call. But yeah, so Noah Fant, I mean, I think he's a pretty good pick. It's always surprising to see a tight end, you know, go in the first round. But I feel like lately there's always been that one guy, you know. So I don't think it's a very surprising pick. So the next pick that we were supposed to talk about is the Philadelphia Eagles at number 25. We're going to save that for the final one that we'll go over, and we'll transition it into some Eagles draft talk. So I can see you now. You're all upset that I won't let you talk about them yet. But don't worry. You'll have plenty of time to talk about them in a second. So we'll skip over pick number 25, and we'll come back to it. So number 26, the Indianapolis Colts. I took an interesting pick here. So I listed their team's biggest needs as defensive tackles, defensive ends, and linebackers. And I went the complete opposite way and chose DK Metcalf, receiver from Ole Miss. You know, you and I were talking about him earlier, and, you know, I know you think that he's going to be the first receiver off the board. What really stands out to you about DK?
You know, just from what I'm reading and from what I'm seeing from his past clips, like, he's just a reliable receiver. You know, like, he's a freak. Physical freak, and he's just in a couple weeks ago, DK Metcalf was not, I guess, a top three receiver on a lot of boards and a lot of rankings. But lately, the guy is shooting up draft boards. I mean, I look quick little Google search. He's the number one on almost every single draft. He got cleared for contact. I think he had a head injury, and he's healthy. He's gonna be a stud. I really do believe that.
Yeah, and my favorite thing about this is, you know, we were talking about the Colts offensive line earlier, and we know their offensive line is fantastic and ready to go. We know Andrew Luck is a phenomenal quarterback. We know T.Y. Hilton's a phenomenal receiver. And we know that Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines are a really good 1-2 punch. If you can get Andrew Luck – oh, and I didn't even mention Eric Ebron, Andrew Luck's, you know, favorite target. So if you can get Andrew Luck a legitimate wide receiver too – that is as reliable as Metcalf, I mean, the sky's the limit with this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. The Colts were pretty much the hottest team in the league for much of last year, and just throwing Andrew Luck another weapon, it's going to be great. It really is. The Colts could be the favorite to win the Super Bowl next year. They could be.
I wouldn't be surprised, especially if they go this route. Because, I mean, they're really not missing a whole hell of a lot on that team.
So, no, they're not. They're really, really not. And Luck seems to be coming back to form, so.
Oh, in a big way. Huge way. So, and then the final pick that we have that's not the Eagles pick is number 32, New England Patriots. They're another team that really doesn't need much. But they do need someone to rise to the challenge when Tom Brady steps out. And that guy is going to be Drew Locke, quarterback from Missouri. You know, I think I forget if it was you or if it was Kyle, but I was talking with someone, you know, about a week ago about how Drew Locke's stock is also skyrocketing. And I don't know if he's going to fall to 32.
He might not be there. You were talking to me about that, and, you know, I kind of did a little digging on my own. It's a 3-year starter, you know. The scouts like him a lot, and I feel like he's the kind of guy that a team could just fall in love with, and if he's there, they might take him. I mean, you look at some of these teams drafting at the end of the draft, you know, like Raiders could be a team that could look to Drew Locke. The Titans could be a surprise team to look for a quarterback. You know, some of these teams could just – they could take him. And so, yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing from him.
Yeah, and, I mean, his stats don't lie. You know, he – from his sophomore year on, he totaled just under 11,000 passing yards, 95 touchdowns, 31 picks over 3 seasons, which is not bad. And then his senior year, he did have 6 rushing touchdowns. So he's not
he's
much
an athlete.
Exactly. He's not much of a runner, but he shows that, you know, if he's got to be the last guy to get it done, he's going to go and get it done. You know, he's a proven guy in the stat sheet, and he's got, you know, 3 touchdowns for every interception that he has over 3 years. And I think he's a guy that's – he's not going to come in and start, but he seems to be extremely coachable, and he could be the guy for someone in a few years if they pick him up.
So maybe like a Jimmy Garoppolo comparison?
Like a Jimmy Garoppolo comparison. Exactly. Exactly. I like you were picking up on that. So finally, we don't have too much time here, but before we go, you know, you guys are listening to the Underground Sports Philadelphia NFL Draft Board. So since we're from the Philly area, why the hell wouldn't we go in and talk Eagles for a little bit? So pick number 25. You have the team's biggest needs listed as running back, defensive end. Who are the Eagles going to take?
So when you look at the team, you go through the entire roster, the entire depth chart. There's a lot of old guys. There's a lot of guys that are just not going to be back next year. You could pretty much pick out a need at every single position, excluding quarterback, excluding tight end. Yeah, and especially in this draft particularly. The defensive line prospects in this year's draft are very, very good. One of the best in years past. You know, like, if there's a guy like, say, Dexter Lawrence who's there. I'm sorry. Christian Wilkins from Clemson who's there. Or Montez Sweat's there. It's going to be tough passing on them. That's for sure. I mean, those are both really good players. Wilkins is a winner, 2 national titles. You know, 16 sacks in 4 years. Montez Sweat, 22 and a half sacks in 2 years. Those are really good players. But there's one guy that I've been eyeing up, and when we did this draft, you were like, I've been waiting for someone to pick him, and I finally picked him. Joshua Jacobs, the running back from Alabama. Quick stat about the running back position in Philadelphia. The Eagles haven't taken a running back in 33 years. That's a long, long time.
Oh, my now, God.
You know, you kind of see people of recent. They take LeSean McCoy in the second round, Brian Westbrook in second or third or fourth round. But then you look at these teams like, you know, L.A. Rams, they took Gurley in the first round. Cowboys took Zeke in the first round, et cetera. Saquon, Giants, first round. There seems to be a trend of really good teams taking running backs in the first round. Joshua Jacobs is rising, maybe more than anyone else in the draft, up the draft board. I mean, his talent is unreal. Just go on Twitter, whoever's listening, type in Joshua Jacobs, and you won't find a bad take about him. He really has been rising up the draft boards. Just in 3 years in Alabama, he only has 250 rushing attempts for nearly 1,500 yards, averaging 6 yards a carry. The thing about the running back position is these running backs, like, say, Gurley at Georgia, he ran for 3,000 yards at Georgia. Saquon ran for 4,000 yards. There's a lot of miles going on those guys' legs. A guy like Josh Jacobs, you know, he doesn't have that many miles on his legs. He's fresh. He's in the best shape of his life. He's going to be a absolute stud in the NFL. He's 6'5", 250. No, I'm sorry. He looks like he's 6'5", 250, but he's only 5'9", 216. I mean, you look at the guy, and he doesn't look that small. He is an absolute beast. He can block. He can protect the quarterback so well. He can catch. His vision is unbelievable. And on 317 career rushes, he only has three fumbles. And two of those fumbles came his freshman year with just one last season. The knock on him, though, is that he doesn't have the elite burst speed that you kind of see in Darren Sproles or in a guy like LeSean McCoy. But, yeah, those guys are not every down running backs. Joshua Jacobs will be in every single down, three down, first, second, third down running back for any team that he's drafted by. Like I said, he can catch. His speed, though, yeah, he doesn't have the quick burst of speed like some of those other guys do, but when he's at full speed, he runs hard, and you wouldn't think that he's slow per se when he's running, but he's an absolute beast. There's so many guys that he's getting compared to. I see Walter Payton, I see Saquon Barkley, I see Gale Sayers, all these legends that he's getting compared to. Joshua Jacobs will be the best player in this draft. Future MVP of the league. I'm telling you right now, he's going to be a stud, and I pray that the Eagles take him, because I really, really believe that it's time for the Eagles to take a running back in the first round. It's time the Eagles take Joshua Jacobs. He's going to be so good. I can't even, like, relate this to anything on the team. Yeah, obviously the Eagles need a running back, but just the fact that Joshua Jacobs could be an Eagle is unbelievable, because he's going to be that good. And thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Well, I definitely wasn't surprised when you told me that the Eagles would be taking Josh Jacobs. You know, you got to figure they're feeling left out in the NFC East. A few years ago, Dallas takes Zeke. Last year, Saquon Barkley gets taken in the first, and then Darius Geitz gets taken in the second.
You didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and the Eagles are the only ones that have been left off the running back train. And Josh Jacobs is a phenomenal running back, you know, to go with. You know, and like you were saying, he's this guy that can be a three down back. And that's something that Philly has absolutely needed. You know, their offense, no offense to, you know, the Philly fans, but their offense would work a hell of a lot better if they just kept the same goddamn guy out there every time. I mean, it's one thing if you want to throw in Darren Sproles here and there, but you need that consistent guy, and Josh Jacobs could definitely be the consistent guy. Speaking as a guy who is not an Eagles fan, this is a great pick. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go with one of, like, the defensive backs, because I know you guys ran into a ton of problems depth-wise this year, especially with all the injuries and everything. But when you break it down, I mean, the top corners that are on the board at this point in our mock draft is DeAndre Baker from Georgia and Amani Oruwari. I can't even say that guy's name, from Penn State. I mean, yeah, at this point in the draft, Josh Jacobs seems pretty damn obvious.
Yeah, so he – the matter of fact, Josh Jacobs, if he's everything I said that I just said he would be, he's not going to be there at 25. Right. I mean, I just hyped him up to be Barry Sanders. So he more than likely probably won't be there. And I don't see another running back in this draft class that is worthy of being taken in the first round other than Joshua Jacobs. So, yeah, you might be forced to take a guy like Baker from Georgia, the cornerback. You might be forced to take Adderley, safety from Delaware. I mean, there's a lot of good options at this pick that you might have to resort to if Jacobs is not available. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, the Eagles definitely have holes, like I mentioned. A lot of guys, they're not going to be able to bring back. I mean, Jordan Hicks, the linebacker, he's gone. He's going to be gone. Brandon Graham, Chris Long, those guys, they're very well likely could be gone. Jason Peters is on his last leg. He might not be back next year. There's guys that you're going to have to replace on this starting lineup, and you're going to get good value at 25. Whoever they pick is going to play immediately. Whether that's a lineman, a linebacker, or whomever. But I really hope that Josh Jacobs is on the board, because he's just going to complete the offense. They have the quarterback of the future. They have good receivers. A receiver is a need, but they have Jeffrey. They re-sign Aguilar, which I believe they will. And then you got Golden Tate's gone. The guy from North Carolina. His name's slipping my mind because he didn't play last year. But they got guys. I mean, there's a lot of options here. Again,
so let me ask you this. Let's say Josh Jacobs is the running back that we say he is, and he doesn't fall to pick 25. Let's pretend like everyone in this draft, besides the obvious guys like Bosa and Josh Allen, let's take away the obvious guys. Let's take away Josh Jacobs. Who's your dream pick for Philly in this spot?
Oh, we're taking Jacobs out of it?
If we take Jacobs out of the equation.
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, honestly, I'd like to see them go after Montez Sweat as a number two option. Started his college career at Michigan State, didn't play that much, transferred over to Mississippi State, who Fletcher Cox is also from. And the guy went for 30 tackles for a loss in 2 years, 104 total tackles in 2 years. Like I mentioned, 22 and a half sacks in 2 years. You pair those two guys together, Fletcher Cox, Montez Sweat, Sweat and Cox, Cox and Sweat, however you ever want to put it. You,
there's a lot of nicknames you could pick up with that duo.
It was throw Lane Johnson in there too. yeah, you can imagine it yourself. But throw Derek Barnett, who was the last first-round pick for the Eagles that they've taken. And then there's a Trayvon Hester, the guy who blocked Cody Parkey's kick. There's a lot of guys that they could throw in there and have a very, very – Mike Bennett's coming back. That's a really good line. The Eagles have one of the best lines in the league this past year. You just keep adding to that, and the Eagles are in win-now mode. You know, they want to make sure that they can provide the best players on the defensive side of the ball that they can. I think adding Montez Sweat would be the best possible thing that they could do after Joshua Jacobs. So,
I love that pick. I love everything about that pick. That's believe it or not, that's exactly who I would have said I would have picked for them at this point in the draft. And you said literally everything that I could have said about the guy. Before we get wrapped up here, anything else you want to say about the Eagles draft?
The Eagles draft, like I mentioned, there's a lot of needs, but I can promise you three things in life. Nah, that was a bad joke. I can promise you three things. They will not take a quarterback, and they will not take a tight end. Yeah. Other than that, anything's fair game. I really can see them going running back, receiver, both lines, safety, defensive back, everything. There really are needs across the board for the Philadelphia Eagles, but they will not take a quarterback, and they will not take a tight end.
Yeah, and you know what? At pick 25, so much can happen. I mean, you have them taking Josh Jacobs right before DK Metcalf comes off the board in our mock draft. If he falls to then and Josh Jacobs isn't there, I don't think there's a single Eagles fan that's going to be upset with getting a legitimate stud wide receiver. You know, there's so many options. And 25 is one of those picks where I don't know if anyone can legitimately predict who's still going to be there and legitimately say who the Eagles are going to take. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of options.
Yeah, I know that there's a couple more things to add, though. The Eagles have 2 second-round picks, meaning they have some ammunition to get up and back to the first round. Say there's a guy, say, at 30, 31, 32 that they're liking. So that's something that they could go back and get. Additionally, Nick Foles is on the trading block. He's going to warrant some sort of compensatory picks coming back to him. So, hey, Sam Bradford went for a first-round pick. The Eagles could have 2 picks in this draft come draft night. They really could. It's not out of the question that could be a possibility.
Oh, absolutely. And in our mock, we have number 29, the Chiefs, taking Montez Sweat. And I know they don't need Nick Foles, but, hey, who's to say they won't trade for the Eagles 2 second-round picks? Eagles could take number 29. They get your boy Josh Jacobs, and they get your boy Montez Sweat. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen. All right. Well, our goal for this pod was to keep it under an hour for you guys. I think we went over a little bit, but hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to us. We definitely enjoyed bringing you guys a lot of information. And I think me and Andrew going forward would be hopefully a pretty good tag team for you guys to get a lot of your draft information from. And we definitely really do look forward to passing on a lot of our knowledge and seeing how the 2019 draft goes with everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Had a blast with you, Mikey, first episode. I'm excited to see what's for come. Josh Jacobs, remember the name.
There you have it, sports fans. Josh Jacobs to the Philadelphia Eagles. And there you have it for myself, for Andrew, for the draft board on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Network. Everyone, have a great night, and we'll be hopping on the pod again very soon. Have a good one, guys.